Blog Talk Radio.
This is Down South and Dirty, the last show of 2015.
Yeah.
And we're in.
Yeah. Time for looking back and reflecting. And,
yes,
you know,
it is year.
It's broke. It's
and
the
you know,
most horrible time of the year. But, you know, I like this time of year. Everybody acts a little nicer. They act
you
like
know,
they're supposed to act.
I'm going to be honest, I'm a Scrooge. I don't particularly like this time of year. I spend way too much money. People want way too much of your time. And then folks don't like you the rest of the year. All of a sudden, this time of year, they like you. They want to invite you over, and they don't say shit else to you the rest of the year. I mean,
so,
where you at?
Hold up. So are you telling me I ain't getting nothing for Christmas? Are you trying to
I'm trying to work the four walls first. You know what I'm saying?
I
the
know.
Smith kids, what the Smith kids are getting, they need to be very grateful.
Yeah, and you know, I saw Santa last night at Manuel's Tavern. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of you because every year I wake up and I run out and look for my Mercedes or my BMW or my Acura, like those commercials, and my car ain't there. And I was like, I'm going to need you to get my stuff.
Where's my Land Rover with the bow on top of it. I want cocaine, like peanut butter guts, and I want a big red and bow on top of it. It ain't happening yet.
I'm a little disappointed. Santa keep dropping the ball on me every year.
You had to see him, man.
I don't know if you saw the picture on my Facebook page. My boy looked like he had been rode hard and put up wet. And I asked him, I was like, Santa, where you going? And I was like, what you got in the box? And he was like, ain't nothing. And then then he turns around and tells me I got lost. No, his elf told me they got lost on the bus, and I was done. I was just completely done. I was like, okay, Santa, see, there you go. But,
tis the season,
right?
Tis the season. Now, I'm one of those folks that, you know, we talk, you know, I this is a progressive show, but I actually do hate the term happy holidays. You know, I hate that term. If I got Jewish friends, I'm going to come up and say to you, happy Hanukkah. If I pretty much know everybody in my circle and how you lean towards your holidays and your religion and this, that, and the other. And shoot, some of my non-Christians celebrate Christmas. So I'll say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. On the 26th, I will be starting with my joyous Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus to all of my pagan friends. You know what I'm saying? Say what it is. Everybody wants to say, well, you know, that happy holidays to me is not an offensive term. It's just a lazy term. It means that you don't know the folks around you. That's like you walking into the room and you want to speak to me and you go, hey, boy, don't you know my name? You don't know me? Come on now. We ought to know our friends and families a lot, a hell of a lot better than we do to be going with some happy holidays. You, even if you're in business, you know who your customers are. You done did market research for every damn thing else to know what the damn target them on with Google. You mean to tell me you can't tell me if they celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa? You can't tell? That's just lazy.
Well, I mean, if you're going to lose your mind because I don't, I mean, I may not know you that well to know your whether or not you're pagan or, you know, what particular. And if I just say Merry Christmas and you lose it because I said Merry Christmas, you know what? Maybe we ought to not connect after all. You know, just maybe.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if you're going to let something so petty make you lose your stuff, you know, come on now. I don't need you in my life like that.
You know, if your last name is Silverman, and I walk up to you and I say Merry Christmas, and you lose your name, I might have should have known better. I might have should have known better. If your name is Gold or something like that, I should have known better. You know, if your last name is Shabazz, you know better.
Stop it. Stop it. Well, you know, there are some things that are no-brainers. I got to agree with you on that. And some people, you know, but you don't need to go to your corner and pray. You.
If you see me eating bacon.
Okay, go to the corner.
And my last name's Smith. You can pretty much guarantee I probably will celebrate Christmas.
Go to your corner. Mama Smith, come get your son. Please, come get your son.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. But,
I know.
Those who may be offended by me saying that, happy holidays.
Oh,
all
somebody's
right?
Always going to be offended by us.
I'm going to do me. But, you know, the title of our show is The Gift That Keeps On Giving, the debate, recap, and holiday show. So y'all probably wondering, what gift keeps giving? And the gift that keeps giving is this presidential campaign. Regardless of Democrat, Republican, you know, now I would love to know what the other parties, the third party, the lower tier parties, whatever we call them collectively. I wonder what they thinking and what's going on with them because, I mean, we got some serious clown shit going on here. I mean, I got a dirty list from the top of the Empire State, been probably the top of the Freedom Tower, all the way down to the subway floor, just to cover it all. I mean, it just, and this week in particular, I thought this week was going to be pretty tame. You know, we got the Republicans out the way.
It was going great in Bernie land.
And then all of a sudden it got off the chain and off the hinges real, real fast. So,
but actually, it still was all good. I mean, we're going to talk about it, but it really is. It's like, all good. Everybody calm down. Deep breath.
Yeah. Woosah. Mm-hmm. But,
Woosah.
You know,
breathe in the good stuff. Breathe out the bull. Breathe in
this
the good
not,
stuff.
But this is Downside and Dirty, and we're going to debate recap. And dirtiness and burn treatment, you know, all of them kind of mix in together this week because I'm
just wilding out. I mean, just admit it, Scout. We're just wilding out, pretty much.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we wilding out. We're gonna start with this Republican clown call. Now, I'm not gonna go too deep into this because it's the same old, same old. Trump come up there and he says race. You know,
and then they all try to outrace them.
But yeah, but now you got a couple of them call themselves trying to distance themselves and call him out on his racist shit. But guess what? Cruz still rolling with him. Cruz is like, I agree with you. I might not want to lock them all up right now, but I might have wanted to eventually, you know, and they want to set up internment camps, and they want to lock folks out of the country. And then the two judges that want to do it the most have brought the most immigrants with them. Think about it. Cruz wasn't even born in this country, okay? Cruz wasn't even born in this country. He just gave up his Canadian citizenship. I need somebody. It ain't nothing like the Obama birther issue. It is nothing like that. We actually know that Cruz was born in Canada. We know that he held Canadian citizenship. I could swear up and down somewhere that the Constitution does not allow this man to run for president, but we letting that slide because we know he ain't going to win no way, okay? But then we got Donald Trump, who I don't think has ever met an American woman who was naturally born here. So you at least brought 3-4 immigrants to the country yourself, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
he had
really,
an 8-8 baby.
Thank you. He got, and they were anchor babies. Yes.
He had anchor babies too.
You know what I'm saying? Were all your children actually born in the United States, Donna? Well, are you sure they were born in your, you know, your estate in Luxembourg or in Monaco? Or your, you know, your little house you got in Mexico somewhere? They weren't born in Tahiti. They weren't born in Thailand in one of your little houses. They weren't born in Dubai. Come on now. Let's be truthful. Let's ask questions. Since you want to keep everybody out, you can't. You're going to have to marry an American woman the next time you get married. You're going to have to be an American.
If you're gonna have that big red, white, and blue erection, you know, come on, do it right, you know.
And
look, try American, like, marry American. Can we do that?
Yes, but you know, it's one thing that what is one Republican candidate I feel sorry for.
Which one is that?
And Professor Potter will say, "Huh." That one?
We might end up fighting after the show, but go ahead. Let's hear it, because I got one, too.
I feel so sorry for Rand Paul, because to tell you the truth, he's the Sanders of their side. I mean,
because,
actuality, you've never really heard Rand go off on a racist rant. He just loves the hell out of the Constitution. He thinks everybody should be free. But at the same time, you know, he don't want to give out no money. He don't think there's no reason for the government to ever help anybody out. That's his fault. You know, No.
Rand Paul has the problem that most libertarians have in their view, where their principle and their dogged adherence to them, they fail to see or recognize or really don't give a shit that sometimes it gives them a license to be prejudiced and to discriminate and cause harm to others, you know, and
right,
that's the problem. But just because you're for, you know, getting rid of, you know, if you're against the police state and all that, that doesn't make you, you know, you don't get a ghetto pass for that.
Right.
You don't get
the thing, my point is that Rand Paul don't give a damn if white people poll too. He don't care.
He really does it. I'll agree with you on that.
Give him that one. You know what I'm saying? He just ain't like, you know, well, those group of people. He don't use any code words. He's straight from the hip. I mean, if Rand Paul was going to say something racist, I believe he'd just come out and say it. I do not believe that African Americans or Latinos or this, that, and the other ought to have it in his unconstitutional. I believe he would just say it. He wouldn't try to code word his way around it. I don't think he would. And that would give me
I'm going to have to reserve judgment on that because, you know, at this point, I don't put anything too much past anybody at this point. And they do use code words. And sometimes they use words and they have no idea they're using code words, and you have to point it out to them. You know what you just said? That was messed up, what you did. So, you know, sometimes, you know, that white supremacy and that white privilege, you know, well, I didn't mean to, but you did, Blanche, you did. And then they get mad when you point it out.
They have those Archie Bunker moments, and then he just goes, Archie!
Archie!
So we get past the clown car, and we was having a really good week on the Bernie side. You know, DFA, big heart, you know, they did an endorsement the way it should be done in a democracy. They asked its members to say, hey, who do you want us to endorse?
Yeah.
And then guess what happened? They chose
almost
Bernie 83%.
Sanders. Oh, my God, and the numbers were off the chain.
And the thing was is that their leadership was very much pushing for Hillary.
Yeah, well, the Dean brothers. You got Jim for Bernie, and then you got Howard for Hills, and I mean, to DFA for the poll and for actually doing it the right way and listening to your members.
And they allowed all the candidates equal access to everybody to make their pitch. I've seen O'Malley pitches. I've seen Hillary pitches. I've seen the Bernie pitch. You know,
right?
And 83%. So guess what will happen probably in America? We would allow the Bernie pitch just to get to everybody. There was no, and this is the reason why we come into the next point that I'm getting ready to make. Because we know that obviously there are large groups of people who, once they hear the message of Bernie Sanders, feel very compelled to support that message, and they start feeling the burn. Now, this is kind of my beginning of the Democratic debate recap, preview, you know, dedicate thing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to go ahead and premise this, is that we're going to go ahead and tell you who was the Dirtiest of the Year award. The Dirtiest of the Year award goes to Devin Wasserman Schultz.
Ta-da!
That y'all would probably think.
Look, you earned it, girl. You earned this.
You ran real tight with Donald there. You ran real tight with him. But this is the point. Donald is at least tells the freaking truth. We know exactly where the hell he stands. He doesn't lie. He just tells us, this is the way I feel about it. You don't like it, kiss my ass. That's exactly what he said. I can respect him on that one. But for Debbie. We are the Democratic, and I can say this because I'm a member of the party. We are the Democratic Party, okay? The Democratic Party, okay? I want you to look up the word democratic. Then I want you to break it down to its Greek roots. We are demos. We are the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, all of the people, not just your people.
Manipulate or nothing like this. You know, it is one thing that even Hillary supporters are like, okay, you doing us a disservice, because now we really believe in what he, and I've heard this from Hillary supporters. They really support what Hillary is doing. They believe that if Hillary has a untainted message, that her message will overcome and we will vote for her. Okay, I give you that. But the problem is that the same thing that Debbie said about Bernie supporters and Bernie, no, what she said about Bernie staff holds true to the DNC and its chairman. You are doing us a disservice because you're cheating and you're caught cheating. You done sanctioned vice chair. Matter of fact, I was sitting here looking at a list, and you know, there's a lot of different lists that come out on Facebook, and you have to fact check some of them and this, that, and the other. But this one I knew was true because I'm a member of the Democratic Party.
And that is fact.
So, you know, that in itself made me go, And so now let me pull this up because I know I got it here somewhere because I saved the link. I saved the link because it was the five reasons, the five things that she's done that were against the DNC's rules. And I'm looking for it. Where is this link? I know I saved it.
Well, okay. I mean, you have the issue with the debates. That's the most notable one.
Right. The big me, and I've had people sit there, you know, and we've argued about this inside of the party because I know for the DPG, we're not supposed to be
jumping in the primary
at this particular point. But this is, from what I understand, this is just not an issue in Georgia, but it's taking place across the nation. Well, we feel like we have to give sides. And the thing was that most Bernie supporters were very, very, that we were very accepting of the rules and not to come out and put our allegiances out on the table. Only reason that a lot of us started doing it was because, hell, it was just this overwhelming rush.
No. I got a problem with that. I got a big problem with that practice because, you know, I used to be with the coffee party. And one of the reasons I left was that I discovered that people did not know how, you know, people always talk about, well, we want to have bipartisanship and we want to work together. And I quickly discovered that people don't know what the hell they mean when they say that. And there are two parts to crafting bipartisanship or bipartisan legislation. There's two parts. The first part is the debate part. You are totally required to be partisan. You are totally required to fight for your position, defend your position, and rep your people. This is what primaries are about. And for people to sit back and keep their mouths shut because they're afraid that, you know, this big invisible hand of the DNC is going to come out and slap the cowboy shit out of them or whatever happens if y'all defy it, because I think y'all just melt the way some of y'all act. But, I mean, there is no reason why people are sitting up there in the closet, well, I don't want to say, and, you know, hit me up on Facebook, I love Bernie, and I'll come out after the primary. No, you come out now. This is part of the democratic process. You're a Democrat, and you're shilling for or supporting a Democratic candidate. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with people representing their own? And you know, it's really, really frustrating to see people come, because we need your energy, we need your voices, we need your passion now. We're going to need them in the general, but we need them now. And, you know, people sitting up there saying, well, I can't say this because leadership is it. Damn them. That's not how this works, people. It is not how it works. And I'm really, really tired of people coming up to me, you know, like they're in the witness protection program because they support Bernie. This is madness, yo. And, you know, and also, there's been a lot of, I don't know, some of y'all Democrats out there, y'all, you know how you take a dog and you keep it on a chain and you abuse it and treat it bad? And when it gets off that chain, it's vicious and it's ready to bite everything. Well,
okay, these are the five things.
Okay.
Now, the first one you can't, you already see is scheduling the debate to garner as few views as possible. Now, by us doing this show, we've learned very quickly, you know, what shows are, we've been able to predict when a show is probably going to have a high ratings and low ratings based on what's going on that weekend and, you know, what's going on around it, what days of the week we possibly need not to do a show, if we're going to do a special time frame, this, that, and other. So we know that the DNC has people who are experts engaging media ratings and whatnot. And for you to want to schedule debates on Saturdays,
Saturdays,
you know Star Wars, they told us, we knew Star Wars was coming out this weekend before they even scheduled debates. Now, and I don't even want to go to
football. Wasn't there a football game last night?
It's Saturday, college football. Then there was NFL football Saturday. Okay? Then, let's see, what else? This is all reasons. The week before Christmas, people are going to be out, Christmas parties, this,
Star
and the other.
Star Wars weekend.
Right. All of this stuff going on. And this just not this weekend, but every time we schedule a debate, there's been something going on that we knew that was going to happen months before they scheduled it. So it's like, we really don't want people to see what, you know, we don't want people to see. And I also get mad at people. You know that these debates coming on. So, you know, if it was on Thursday night, you knew Empire was coming on, then guess what? You might not need to watch Empire. You know you can catch that shit on demand. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As a voter, you need to go out there. But at the same time, they know we're not going to do that. So that they go, and then they decide, okay, we know that the American public is lazy. We know y'all are not going to go out there. We know the only people that are going to watch are going to be those insiders, those people who really, really are involved in the process. And that's the way we like it, because we already know where all of those people sit. So that's kind of sucky, considering how they did that. I mean, it was all kinds of stuff going on. And the next one that takes place, it's going to be doing the same time as the NFL playoff game.
Yeah, and this one's going to be in Charleston. Yeah. I mean, we know what's going on uptown, but here's the thing. this is all the more reason to watch it. And actually, the events of the latter part of the week actually helped Bernie more than hurt him, because
right.
I got to tell you, I did a debate watch party at Manuel's Tavern, which was kind of bittersweet because this is probably going to be the last time we will be there in the old original building. But we had a packed house, and we actually had three Hillary supporters sitting with us. And we said it was all love. You know, everybody respected each other. You know, everybody, you know, they clapped, you know, when they felt Hillary made a point and we made some noise, you know, when we were supporting Bernie. But I was like, I was just sitting back, you know, looking at him and going, you know what? We should do it like this all the time, because what's going on Facebook, you know, some of y'all are just twisted. But, and I know you've seen some of it on trolls. Be warned, if you're going to come on my Facebook page, I like trolls. I think trolls are fun.
Yeah,
we work on my nerves. Yeah, we love it. I mean, and
yeah,
some of y'all are trying to be trolls.
You know, you best be understanding. You coming to us that not only you gonna have to deal with us, but we have friends. And when they see that something, we go. It's like we go woo woo, and everybody be like, what? Somebody don't what? Yeah, that's how it's gonna be. So you know, we do that little
clap, right? The clap. Yeah, the clapback is real. So you know,
yeah.
And most people know me, know I ain't the one. I ain't got time for this. I got five kids. They took all the patience I had. They sucked it clean out of me. So I don't have much left for folks like that. And so, you know, I'm just telling. And then some folks are getting into the troll business, and it's like, you know what, you doing it all wrong. But, you know, I think it's funny. And some of it is sad and pathetic, because some people is like, oh, you just mad, you know. And what you need to do is to stop trolling and get out there and help your girl instead of messing
with me. Yeah,
right?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to sit up on Facebook and play with you all day. You know, we out there trying to do stuff. I mean, for real, for real. I mean, so be for real. Though. But the number two thing she did, and I haven't seen this in Georgia yet. It's possibly going to happen. But I've seen it in other elections.
Mm-hmm.
That they say in the grassroots Clinton field offices being co-located with DNC offices and them local Democratic offices, to the point that when you walk in there, you automatically think that the Democratic Party already made its choice. Hillary Clinton is raising millions and millions and millions of dollars. She don't need no help with the rent. Tell her to go get her own down. But no, Bernie got his own spots. O'Malley got his own spots. Why she get discounted rent at Democratic Party offices? You're wrong. You're showing bias. You're violating the bylaws.
Well,
you know,
this is what I've seen. Now,
I can see that doing the general, but I can't see it doing the primary.
Well, I can say that what I have seen is that, and there is an organization that is operating in Atlanta that popped up all of a sudden, and it's affiliated with the Fight for 15 home health care workers, and it is definitely, I mean, they got an organizer down here. You know, one of the things, and one of my beef with campaigns is that y'all always sending people down here from another state that don't know the lay of the land. You don't even know what area you live in. And how are you going to organize down, you know, in the community? So there was a meeting a few months ago, and actually Representative Hank Johnson was there, Vincent Ford, a couple other folks. And, you know, we're sitting there, and it's clearly a pro-Hillary group. And so I don't know if they're sharing office spaces, but if there's a new group doing advocacy work and you've never seen them, and the person organizing is like, you know, I'm new around here, chances are it's a co-opted group. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of like, this is all a lesson in how to do it dirty. You're going to see that playbook rolled out, people. You're going to see it rolled out. And this is how to win an election dirty style.
Okay, number three, we all know about number three because number three was the actions that happened on Saturday. You know, this so-called dismantle, you know, now I don't say they tried to dismantle the campaign, but they sure enough tried to put a stop on it. Now, this is the thing. From a person who's operated inside a vote building, a lot of other people who've operated inside a vote building,
mm-hmm.
and who use NGP files, we all know that shit sucks. Okay? You got candidates who don't even upload their shit into vote buildings because of the simple fact that they believe that it's not secure.
Right.
Okay? So for this to happen, that was something that we knew that was going to do. We knew. This is something that happens on a regular basis. And nobody's campaign has never been suspended. Access has never been suspended because of this. So that really in itself causes me to go, really? All right. Now, I got a caller sitting here. We going to call her. We see you.
Oh, Lord.
I bet you
it's Noah.
Okay. The fourth one was the DNC's finance chair got caught raising money for Clinton. You can't do it. You can't do it. But so many people have resigned their positions in parties to go work for Hillary. Man, hell, you actually left us in a position where we can't help any other Democrat get elected. Okay, number five is that. Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier. The DNC already lining up superdelegates. Now, if you don't understand what a superdelegate is, the superdelegates are your elected officials and your high-ranking party officials in your area. So I know he enjoyed the DuBose party in society. He's supporting Hillary. You're the head of the DPG. You don't realize how many of your people feel the burn. Can you not do that this early? Because y'all not set on y'all hands, and y'all could probably did all y'all wanted to do. But you came out because you want to be on board. You want to be seen that you're relevant. Okay? No, show that you're relevant, that you got balls enough to be a leader that says, you know what, we're going to stand and we're going to hold, and we're going to get Democrats riled up over whoever's running. We just going to get riled up because we blew. We're not going to get a fit. And then you wouldn't have so many of us lighting up on so you can feel the burn. Because we're
going to
burn.
Well, now, Steph,
let's go talk
you know. Okay. But you know you got to play ball, Scout.
Paula?
Hello?
I told you it was probably a Noah. That's my.
Yeah, it's me.
It took me over 50 years to finally get a sister, a little sister. So I'm so happy. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you? We missed you last night, Scout.
Yeah, he ditched me.
Missed you last night. It was good.
You should have. You better got us something. I got you.
Like I told you, you know how many children there are?
No. I mean, I expect you to take care of the babies and everything, but you know, come on now. Your dog. I got your cookies.
Crazy.
Don't try to tell me about cookies. Them cookies you've been using, them cookies you gave me for a couple of years now.
I have. No, for real, I got the walnuts and everything. I just haven't had time.
Walnuts and everything, and my cookies will never get here. You promised me these cookies when we first met.
I know. I thought about that.
Y'all
my cookies are good. My cookies are good, and my potato salad. You can't mess with it. Can't touch it. I mean, I make the best potato salad inside of the Mason Dixon. But yeah, Noah was with me last night. We had some black burners.
Too.
Yeah, we had some black burners who came up from. I mean, we're in Atlanta. They came up from Henry County, McDonough. We had Jim Nichols in the house, former candidate, Democratic candidate. We had Nick Langley, Panthers for Bernie. We had Daniel Hanley. We had Megan Harrison, Georgia for Bernie Sanders.
CBS showed up.
Yeah, you know what? They come sticking the camera in, and I was like, What the hell is this? Now, Scout, you know we have to practically chop somebody's head off to get the media to come out. If you know, if you're doing social justice or political organizing, they won't come out unless they know it's controversial, right? Very rarely do they come out. So I didn't even bother to send out a press release for the Light Brigade or you know, the watch parties because they don't come. So lo and behold, they come, and I just, my mother's words kept ringing. My ears, always go out dressed like your picture's going to be taken. I was tired, and I just jammed that hat on my head, and I said, I'm finna do this right
now. You look fine. You look like you were fighting ready to, you know, lead the crew to victory. I mean, it was a good turnout. I'm sure the segment,
oh, it was a great
whatever
turnout.
They actually did was good. Like, Manny's was cheering for the debate.
Did anybody actually go look at CBS 46 to see if they actually put this?
No, I haven't actually looked to see if it actually got aired. Since by the time we got home, I didn't actually look to see if it was aired. But with the debate, just kind of going back to what you're saying, like it was interesting because at one point Stacey did say, "Now we have Hillary Clinton supporters in the room too." We were all like, "Oh, really?" Because I mean, you know. They looked a little uncomfortable because, you know, they got a room of about 40 people and only maybe like four of them were for Hillary. But, like, it wasn't an unwelcoming group at all. And that's what I think people need to understand about coming over to the side with us, right? Like, don't let the media fool you. There are way more of us, whether it's black burners, Latinos
right.
for Bernie, like whoever. There are women for Bernie. There are way more of us. Then there are, you know, like they just did. They had something last night about how many social media accounts are real for each of the candidates.
Yeah.
Bernie has like 89% or 90% of accounts
that are actual
that are
people.
Pro-Bernie are actual real Bernie supporters. Whereas 58% or 60% or something like that are actually real supporters for Hillary. They're not just paid troll accounts or whatever they are. And
that
is like
one of the
contracts
we got asked. You know, one of the questions I got asked by CBS 46, which is our Atlanta CBS local affiliate, and they asked me, so, you know, how many people in the room, you know, how many people in the bar do you think are Bernie supporters? And I was like, I don't know. And then they go, well, we saw Bernie buttons everywhere because we were giving out buttons for free. We were passing them out throughout the bar, and I was like, well, I said, that pretty much tells you that this is pretty much a pro-Bernie room. But I said, I've got three Hillary supporters in my room.
What you
and
said
I was like,
wrong.
You want to talk to them? I think they were kind of disappointed. I think they were disappointed that they didn't find, they were looking to find, you know, Hillary people taking over the bar. They weren't there, but we were there. And actually,
well, that's also the difference, right? That's the difference between the movements. But that's the difference between Bernie Hillary supporters. People feel we feel like we have we don't we're not floating on air like, oh yeah, we don't have to do anything. We understand there's work to be done. We're not afraid to do it. You know, maybe some of us need a little air direction on what would be most productive and helpful for this endeavor. But we're willing to dig in and roll up our sleeves and do what it takes, go where we need to go to make it happen. And I don't think the media gets it. You know, I had a friend from law school tag me in a post last night about how it's supposed to seem, you know, because this is the only rhetoric they can push, right? Between Trump and Hillary, who do you vote for? You can't tell me that you're not going to vote for Hillary. You're not a real progressive. So I had to explain to him. I said, bruh, you're not a real progressive. This is not a progressive situation you're talking to me about here. You're talking to me about a zero-sum, you know, scenario that does not have to be.
That doesn't yet exist.
It doesn't even have to be inevitable.
Right.
And so let's talk about what's a real progressive. Let's just break it down real quick because I'm tired of it. I want Hillary supporters to tell me, why do you support Hillary? And no time because she's a woman or she did a great job as first lady, because you can't have it both ways. You can't say that Bill's record, what Bill did, does not count because she was only first lady, but then cite all the stuff that she helped him do as first lady. It can't be both ways. Because we're going to rely on her experience as a first lady, then we need to talk about the 94 crime bill. And don't tell me about how Bernie voted for it. It was an omnibus bill. It had some Violence Against Women Act provisions instilled in it, which he explained on the floor. There's video. Go look it up on YouTube about how much he hated the bill, but he was going to go ahead because these other provisions got stuck in it that really needed to pass. And he has continued to work in Congress.
But
go ahead.
But that also speaks to Bernie. You know, a lot of criticism I'm also hearing now is like, well, he's not a Democrat, neither are you. So a man who caucused with the Democratic Party over 90% of the time, and he voted for that bill even though he hated it, and took one for the team and voted for Democrats. You mean to tell me this man is now your mortal enemy? So Clinton supporters kind of have a bit of cognitive dissonance going on, and they need to work
that out.
It's time to work that out. I mean, we saw this with the issue of guns and the Iraq War. And, Obama and Hillary in 2008, right? Because at first she stuck by her vote, in 2008. She saw how that helped her lose an election.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's trying to flip the script, and it's like, no, and then trying to throw Bernie's votes against them. And it's like, it doesn't work that way, hon. It doesn't work that way. Bernie will sit there and say, yeah, I like him, because he will sit there and say, yeah, I did it, and here's why. He will explain why, and he won't pander. And one of the things I love, and which was a great moment in the beginning of the debate, when, they went straight to the data breach thing, and David Muir asked Bernie if there was anything he wanted to say, and he turned around and said, and perfect Brooklyn swagger, I'm sorry. Okay? Now, can we move on? And what was that? And, there were moments of where he got a little burnery. I love that hashtag. But, the Hillary supporters are really, really, it's the unraveling. And we're seeing it happen. We saw it happen in 2007 and 2008, and we're seeing it happen now. Some of them they're coming apart at the seams, and they get lost in their own argument. And if you let them spin it out long enough, you just go, go look back and
exactly.
see what you just did.
Exactly.
So grateful
and the
pointing
other thing
that
just,
out.
Just also with the just going to again the cognitive dissonance with the Hillary campaign and with the DNC as a whole, right? We're seeing some really slimy, scummy tactics, and we're supposedly, on this side, the better party, the better option. That's what we always say to people. But what's happening right now with national leadership, well, not even national leadership, since vice chairs have kind of bucked back against Debbie anyway. Well, what we're seeing from Debbie Wasserman Schultz is like foul. And even the characterization of the breach itself and what actually happened, people are saying, that Bernie's campaign hacked into Hillary stuff. Let's just be clear on what happened. It was not right. What happened? Okay, let's talk about it. A firewall from the vendor came down. There is data, and this is from the vendor. Anyone can go on the vendor's website. They have a blog article up explaining exactly what happened. It went up Friday at about 3:30 p.m. around the same time that Debbie is on TV giving interviews, blasting and mischaracterizing the whole situation. So when Bernie's campaign manager is on TV saying that she lied and he has emails to prove it, there's emails, there's all types of stuff. She blatantly lied on television, and that's unacceptable as the leader of the Democratic Party, especially if we're trying to position ourselves as being better than the Republicans. But the breach, there wasn't like people like, oh my God, they stole our information. No. The vendor itself admits that the data was not exported or removed from the system. It also explains that these are summary sheets about voters, information that all three campaigns had. What was different that they were suddenly able to see were different characteristics that was a score sheet and other information, not anything that would actually help anybody or give anyone an advantage, but information that was proprietary to the Clinton campaign. That is what was exposed. It wasn't that it was like personal data or information.
Bernie bot.
It's a Bernie bot, but you know what? You can go. There's actually a really good Snoop article. Snoop.com, which is great at dispelling myths and rumors, even has a great article pointing that out.
Hold up.
everybody is missing is that the data that NGP Band is using is actually open records data that you can get at any state if you just walk down to the state office and ask for it. The only difference is that this data is compiled and they use some algorithms to allow you to be able to categorize these voters. We already know who the voters are. Okay, we know who they are. All that time,
somebody's getting a lot of background. Okay.
I can go in right now, and I can go in there, and I can see all kinds of scores. You know what I'm saying? And I can go in there and plug this data and plug this number and plug this number, and it's going to give me different voters. Now,
right, and that's what people aren't understanding what you're saying about the scores. The scores, not like, it's not like somebody stole Social Security numbers, right? It's not like somebody leaked people's personal information.
Right.
Like happened, you know, with some people in some places. But
there was no fundraising or financial data, you know. And Scout and I have both worked with Vant, but there are also other systems out there. Vant is not the only game in town.
Yeah,
and, you know,
any of the programs is out
right.
there.
And for those, you know, one of the things and one of the reasons for the call parties yesterday, I mean, one of the reasons for the debate watch parties were to push the need to do call parties. People need to understand, if you want Bernie to hit your state, if he doesn't win in Iowa, if he doesn't win in Nevada, if he doesn't win in New Hampshire, if he doesn't win in South Carolina, he ain't coming to Georgia nowhere else. And so there's a real need to make calls in these states. And so while all this was going on, you know, they could have sat back there and cried, all boo-hoo. And, you know, other people were saying they were dead in the water. Team Bernie was steady on the grind. Because while this was all going down, the campaign was actually building, you know, they were like, okay, we're just going to transition. Because one monkey don't show with us.
To the legal team. Big shout out
right.
to the legal team. Because
the legal
team dug in.
Right. And said, we're not having this. And filed a brief. And while Bernie apologized, that suit is still active, people. But and the organizing, you can make calls today. Go to BernieSanders.com/phone bank. They will get you set up to do it today. One monkey did not stop no show. So whether the whole Debbie Gate thing was going to continue for the 6 weeks or whatever, we were still going to set it off, and we still are. So if you can make calls, whether individually or as a party, I got 3 commitments last night to do call parties. I'm looking to do some bigger ones. I got to make some calls on Monday. But, you know, people, go to the site and make some calls, because this is the kind of stuff, this is what we're fighting. This is some of the stuff we're against.
And if anybody has the time, you know, if you have any spare time or free time and you're able to actually get to Iowa, apparently the campaign is housing people. If you can get there to actually help with canvassing and on the ground, getting people to get out to the caucus. But, so definitely pay more attention to the Iowa for Bernie Sanders, the official Iowa for Bernie Sanders Facebook page, and then look out on the BernieSanders.com website as well for more information. I mean, there's a whole section where you can sign up for more information. They're placing you. I mean, housing, depending upon, like, if you're a married couple who's going versus just a bunch of college students. I mean, this is a real, true blue grassroots opportunity.
This is grassroots.
To get out there. This is grassroots for real. Go ahead.
Can I just take a moment? Because I had to do this yesterday. People, I need to say something about these Facebook groups and we were talking last night. Who's official and bona fide with the campaign? Now. Okay, I'm not with the campaign. Scout's not with the campaign. Anoa's not with the campaign. We're in touch with the campaign. And if we do anything for the campaign, we will have express permission from them, because we, like, call them before we do anything. So, yes, we're in touch with the campaign. But none of us are representatives, nor have we gone out and represented ourselves. The Facebook groups are all grassroots. They are not connected with the campaign. So the only way you're going to connect with the campaign is to connect with the campaign. And don't get me wrong, the Facebook groups are doing a wonderful job about getting the information out, debunking myths, you know, doing troll warfare and some of the other things. But there is nobody, unless it has a BernieSanders.com behind it, that is with the campaign. And, you know, and it's kind of...
No, who's standing beside it?
You know, so somebody's got a lot of background.
It's probably me. But I just want to call in and say, you know, you guys are doing awesome. I'm so thankful to both of you, and I'm not just blowing smoke up nobody's, you know, rear end. Like, seriously, it's really helped me, like, kick things up to a whole nother level and really figure out how to get involved. Because I think that's what a lot of us need out here. It's just some direction. Like, are we doing the right thing? What is the best use of our time and energy? Because I know, you know, all of us have other things to do besides, I mean, none of us are paid. Like Stacey said, none of us work for the campaign. None of us are paid. I mean, yo, it's hard. It's hard out here doing this as a volunteer, you know, for free. But as soon as we believe or are passionate, we really, really want this to happen. And it's not only just electing a president, but it's getting people involved and inspired to really start doing more on our local levels and our communities as well. Because we're talking about being a part of this movement, and Bernie says it all the time. This isn't just, you know, about electing one person, because he can't do it alone. He's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's like, well, you know, they're going to have the house locked up anyway for another 8 years, so it doesn't really matter who you are. No, that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. We have the opportunity now, right now, not in 8 years, not in 4 years, to elect someone who is helping to inspire and motivate a generation like, I mean, never before. Yes, Obama was fabulous with the hope and change, but we weren't very clear and specific with Obama with what we needed from him. And we did not follow up in 2010, 2012, and 2014 with making sure he had the help he needed in the House and the Congress and our state houses, too. Our state houses are more red than anything else in the country. We have to pay attention to our local elections. They're important. Voting absolutely matters. It is a tool. It's not the end all be all, but it absolutely matters. So anyone out there listening, do you guys want to get involved? Look for any of us on Facebook. I mean, we're not, like I said, we're not in charge. We're not running anything, but we can definitely give you some tips, ideas, suggestions on what to do, how to get involved, and where to look. I appreciate y'all so much for letting me call in. And I'll talk to you later.
You know, you're always welcome. And, you know,
thank
Scout, you know, we paid her off. And it's, kicking it. No. No, we appreciate you. And it has been a pleasure, you know, getting to know and working with you and knowing. Just keep doing what you're doing. She is the social media maven and diva. So, but if you want to get in touch with me, I'll put my stuff out there. I don't care. Just email me at S as in Sam, A as in Apple Hopkins, with an S, 63@gmail.com. And please don't send me no crazy stuff, because please. But, you know, but thanks, Anoa. We love and appreciate you, but.
Yeah. All right.
What else is on? Was that the last one on the list with Debbie? Because let's talk about, because I want to talk about the debate and stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm through with Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie, well, I think a lot of people are through with Debbie, and Obama, it's time to come and cut her head off, or she's going to blow it. Y'all going to lose the White House with her at the helm. So, you know, but I guess what we saw was what, you know, I guess this is the whole nuke it from space kind of thing that was hinted to a couple of months ago, but. You know, I guess it kind of blew up in the law. It kind of backfired. No, it did backfire. But anyway, the debate, I think first off, if you were a Democrat last night, you were happy. I mean, because you really had a debate on the issues. There are some people, you know, of course, you always have to. Well, you didn't talk about this. You didn't have to. You didn't talk about that. It was basically surrounding, you know, this was basically the foreign policy debate. It also delved off into education a bit and talked about, you know, taxes. But it really wasn't. If you were coming there looking to hear about criminal justice reform, this ain't that party. The one you want to watch is going to be in January on the 17th in Charleston. So, you know, but I think it was a really good debate in terms of, you know, it's sad when you look at the Republican debate and you go, what the hell, what did I just watch? And I can't unsee what I just saw. And then
yeah.
when you look at, you know, right, and then you see, right, we want to go to war and we hate everybody who's not a white male. You know, if you're not a white male, we have to control you in some sort of way. So that's pretty much the gist of it, and that doesn't change. It was nice to see them mix it up. It was nice to see the differences between the three candidates come out. Now, Martin O'Malley, you know, I got to say, I kind of like Martin. And yesterday he was like, it was kind of funny because he was like, I will be heard. And he was, you know, but when you're number three, you do what you got to do. You know, so I really can't be mad at him. And he got a couple of good zingers in. I think all of them tried to craft their differences. I think Hillary was pretty much running. You know, she came out. You know, Hillary, she's been doing this a long time. So, you know, she's good at debate. And we'll not take that from the woman. But I think she came out basically to, you know, let people know. Hillary came out and was debating like she was already in the general. You know, she was like, you know, going, hers was more focused towards the GOP.
Got a fight on her hands. Yeah, I think those are the things on Friday. And you watched the Bernie collect $1 million. It was almost like a money bomb.
Because
I know
they rolled.
So, you know, she had to come out and understand that she realized she had to fight. A lot of her supporters may not realize that she's in a fight. But I think she realized the fight. She done ran this race twice. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This is her second time. And she underestimated Senator, now President Obama, in 2008. She can't afford to underestimate Bernie Sanders because he's on the
mm-hmm.
same trajectory that Barack Obama was this same time. So now we
mm-hmm.
see that. Folks playing that dirty trick, but she has to do her job and campaign. And when she's in these debate situations, she got to take it because Bernie is not anybody to play with debating.
Right, because Bernie, he ain't the one. And you know, every candidate has their weak spot. You know, and you know, I don't know what people think that we expect out of Bernie. That you know, we expect him to be perfect in everything. No one is. I mean, that's the problem. That's one of the lessons I think we all should have learned from, you know, 2008 and President Obama, because a lot of people perfection and got disappointed when they found out he was just as mortal as the rest of us. But it was I enjoyed it. There were some zingers, you know, going back and forth. You know, what did they cover? Guns, foreign policy, health care. You saw it, right, Scout? Did you catch it?
I saw excerpts of it. So I went through a lot of the high importance of it. And I watched I watched some of the clips about from the foreign policy debate.
Yeah.
I didn't catch the guns yet. But foreign policy, because that was, a lot of people
that's
don't realize.
Thing. I know.
Because I got two, it's three things that I really harp on when it comes to my politics. One is mass incarceration. Okay,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to criminalization of poor people, that is like my main thing because I done lived through some of it. If you go back and look at any interaction I've had with law enforcement, it has had to do with laws based on your ability to pay something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's insurance or whatever,
child
you know, you don't have the money.
Yeah,
you don't have the money, you can't pay it, and the government says they want to put some kind of penalty on you because you can't afford to pay for a service from a private industry that the government has mandated that you need to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
one of the reasons I'm supporting my next point is single-payer health care, because to me, the worst part of the ACA is the mandate. Even though we need it,
mm-hmm.
it's the part people who can't afford may still not be able to afford it, may have to pay a fine. Because guess what? There are still people in America, even though we've drastically reduced the number of uninsured people in this country, there are still people who can't even afford ACA.
And well, I'm one of them. I got a health care plan that I could barely afford to use. And so,
right.
You know, with the copay.
So you have people who may still have to pay a fine. Okay.
I got a pretty card in my wallet. It's a very pretty insurance card.
Yeah. You know.
Can,
but thirdly, I'm a foreign policy person. And, you know, it came out of my thing of me serving in the United States Navy. You know, when you start being a part of the instrument foreign policy, you start paying attention to it. When you have, children who are military age or have children who are serving in the military, such as yourself, you pay attention to what's going on around the world because of some shit pop off. Your children or yourself may actually have to go over there and be boots on the ground or the boat floating off the coast or the plane flying over, whatever. So we are in America, that is the biggest expenditure in our government. You look at the military budget and you look at how much we spend in foreign aid. And that is the reason we have terror terrorists targeting us. If we never had any dealings with the rest of the world, and we just let everybody else do the hell they want to do, nobody will be worried about America. But since we're out there, we're conscious of what we're doing because it affects everything else. You know, if I got veterans who come home who have, you know, physical ailments, mental ailments, they're going to have to use the health system. You know what I'm saying? They have to be able to utilize that. If they can't come home and get a job, then they may be focused. They may end up becoming people who are put in the system because they can't afford to live the way the government says you have to live. So all of it to me locks in. I can see the big picture. You know. So for me, I was watching that, and Sanders made a very good point about yes. Ms. Clinton has been Secretary of State, this, that, and the other. But does she really understand the consequences?
Yes.
The
unintended consequences of regime change.
Thank you. Because guess what? When we want somebody across the ocean telling us who we should be voting for president. When we go to these countries and we so-called exporting democracy, we're telling these people, guess what? You can choose the type of government that you want. Well, in two of these countries in which we've had this take place, they've chosen governments that we particularly don't want them to have. You got to look at the Palestinians. When the Palestinians had their first free election, they elected Hamas. They elected the people that they thought would best serve their needs. They feel like they need to be free.
But that's how democracy is supposed to work. You may not like who the people choose, but that's who the people told. And
thank you. So after we told these people,
we don't like
that.
We're going to give you this. Thank you for voting, but we don't like your choice. So we're going to give you this. And then you wonder why people are mad.
Because it's a lie. Then they look at over here and be like, you know what? They're doing the same thing to the American people. We're just stupid enough to believe that we actually still live in a representative republic. That is one that has democratic rules to how we pick our leaders. We don't have it. The Republic is dead. The Empire, you know, and they pulled apart about doing this, and I didn't get it. I was looking at a press conference, and damn it, why did the White House Secretary come up there with two damn stormtroopers? What did they think of the
Stop it.
Come on now. You could have got two Jedi sitting up there with you, but no, you chose stormtroopers. Cool.
Everybody knows
they came
with stormtroopers. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Evil is cool. Evil is cool. That's what's wrong with everybody.
I'm going to have your mother on a third line and bring her in when we need to. Come get your son. Your son is with us. But you know, one of the things, and they also talked about terrorism. Now, you know, you and I as black Americans living in this country, you know, we've had terrorists around for over 400 years or more, you know.
Right.
But we, so, you know, when you talk about ISIS, I just ain't been shit to me. But, you know, it's very hard, you know, for people to understand that America's action is what caused the terrorism to begin with. You can't, and if you want to talk about terrorism, you have to be able to recognize how this country has been a terroristic nation practically from its outset. And you can't sit there, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, Syria and all of these wars, there's one thing that's common in every single conflict. You flip over those weapons, chances are it says made in America. I think a good way to start is to stop, we can just disarm people by stop selling people shit. You know, can we try that?
The shit will break sooner or later. Everybody says we're not sending you a bad money. Somebody got to get that money. Somebody got to be greedy. And I'm glad that you did bring up the fact that we've been in America, a terrorist country from itself. Because you got to think about it. We were all so scared when the meeting was all on top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And ISIS was coming after them. Well, we had a very similar situation happen in this country about 200-some-odd years ago. There were all of these Native American tribes sitting in West Georgia, around from Etowah all the way down to Dothan, Alabama, waiting for the federal army to come snatch them up and move them off, and they marched these people on a death march to what is now Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
The ISIS did the same thing to the Yazidi and was attempting to get ones that were holding out on the Mount Sinjar. So do you understand, do you understand how the Indians fought us for the next 90 years? If you look at history from that point, the Indians didn't play the radio with our asses no more. Every time we showed up somewhere, they just start killing us because it's dead. You see white men, you need to kill them.
And you know what?
But if you came into my neighborhood and started talking about moving me, I'm going to kill your ass too.
Right, this is kind of a diversion, but this is like the basis of the Black Liberation Movement. And why, you know, self-defense is a part of that, and all respect. We don't want, you know, nobody wants to go out and arbitrarily kill whitey. Well, I don't.
No.
But there are some folks, they mad. I got to put that out there. Because
you're humans, and we love you because you're human.
Right. But you have to understand, when you take people to that limit, and when you talk about their families and their people, they're coming for that ass.
Thank you. So you got to look at the same thing when we go overseas and we start picking and choosing and living in the group. We get the same problem, the same thing happens over and over again. Western diplomats suffer from insanity because we've been doing the same thing for the last 150 years, going in trying to change regimes and picking winners and losers. Hell, we can go to a situation, Rwanda and Belgium going in there, winners and losers. So you got Hutu and Tutsi killing each other. Then you can go down to South Africa. You got Hoza and Zulu fighting each other because the white man is picking winners and losers. You had the same thing in Liberia. You got the Amerigo Liberians and you got the native tribes fighting each other because the rest of the time came in there, we pick winners and losers. More problem and instability takes place in third world countries based on Western countries going in picking winners and losers when we so-called call ourselves defending democracy when we allow the people of those countries to choose their own leaders and their own way of governing themselves that we claim is the pinnacle of being a proper and just advanced society. What would happen is these people would not choose leaders that we would want them to have because we don't have their best interest at heart. We want to come in their countries. We want to exploit their minerals. We want to exploit their labor. We want to take their wealth and their culture and use it for ourselves. People know that this is not what they want, and they're not going to choose leaders. And we subvert the process. And now in America, we know we don't want the same thing either, and the process is being subverted. So the thing is, that's why we got a bunch of crazy people running around our country. Some of our folks on the right are rightfully upset at the government for a good reason, but at the same time, they hold racist views. Their racist views are being stoked up. So now they make it into a hate thing. The same thing in our foreign policy. We done made Muslims seem like they're the enemy. I read something on Facebook the other day, and it came from one of our state senators here in the state of Georgia. And everybody know I dislike this when it comes to politics. I'm not going to say I dislike it as a person, but his politics, because he's all right as long as he's not doing anything political.
You know what's funny? You got those people, you know, you talk to, and you're like, you know, you know, they're all right. And then you get the politics and something comes out their mouth and you go, oh. And you just pull back like, oh, shit. Where did that crazy come from? So, you know, I try not to talk politics with people because, you know,
Senator Josh McCoon.
I knew McCoon.
Dude is all right when you're talking to him and it's just regular stuff.
Talk about anything. You get the politics, you go,
oh. Like, I really talk to you? Really?
No, or you look at him and you go, dude, you know you said that shit out loud, right? I can see you.
This is what he posted. Because a lot of us people who are even mildly educated realize that there's a root base to Islam, Christianity, and Judaism.
Mm.
We are Abrahamic religions. But all of our holy books trace us back to Abraham. Anybody who is mildly educated understands this. I understood this years and years ago just from reading the Bible and then reading the Quran.
I blame the school.
A lot in common. Okay, and the only difference is Jesus. But we're not going to get into a religious debate about this. But the thing was.
No,
is that
please,
Josh,
no.
But Josh McCoon said, he reposted, somebody else posted, but he was agreeing with it. And he's saying, no, Christianity and Islam do not have the same root. We went in. Folks from West Georgia went in. It was like, what Sunday school did you sit in?
Well, the one, it was on the matchbox. And, you know, it was on the match cover thing. And
the fact is, he's Catholic. And we know they teach this. We all know.
Yes, they do.
We all know Abraham had a son named Ishmael. And if you go to the Quran, you will find that they talk a lot about Ishmael. And they will tell you that Ishmael's father was Abraham, the same father of Isaac, who was the father of the nation of Israel, who then, you look down his lineage, you find David. And David, you look down David's lineage, you find Jesus. And then we find Christianity. So these same people are arguing this back and forth with us.
But Josh McCone said it, so it must be true. You know,
right.
We got a lot of people in that because it perfectly fits the narrative. Yeah, so yeah,
right.
He's right.
Bring,
but
this is the thing. Then you bring up to him, like, well, hold on. If that counts for Muslims, then it also has to count for Jews. And then they back us real quick. No, we like Jews. No. Jews don't believe in Jesus either.
No, they don't.
So they evil for not believing in Jesus. Well, you saying Jews are evil for not believing in Jesus. No. Because guess what? None of them are evil.
Like I said, you have them conversations and you go,
Look. Then we were spelling, some of me and my folks that was debating them, we were spelling the Quran with a Q, as it's supposed to be spelled.
Yeah, and I did that the other day, but I was tired. But I know the difference, but yeah.
Right.
But I admitted my mistake.
Right, but they kind of threw them for a loop. What book are you talking about? We're talking about the Quran, not with the K,
with a Q, and it's family spelled with a Q.
Right, you know, but then the thing was, I said, has any of you ever picked up a Quran and read it? And somebody said, I've never read a verse of the Quran. I said, that's why I know you didn't read it, because there ain't no verses. It's a Quran.
Well, you know, it's amazing how you have so many religious scholars who, you know, I'm just stunned at the amount of all of a sudden, you know, you become, oh, I've studied this and I've looked at that, and I'm like, you's a damn lie. But, you know, go on. You know.
But this is the thing, though. If I get into a religious debate with you, you best to be ready, because, see, Diane raised her child to be open-minded and about other religions. And we had books of other religions up on our bookshelf. And mm-hmm. My mother got deeper in her faith, those books came to me because she was like, you know, I don't want that. I done made my choice. I'm a Christian, and I'm reading and studying up on my words. But I read the Bhagavad Gita. I had a copy of the Holy Quran. I looked at the you know, all of the different holy books of different nations. I read translations in from the Greek and the Latin, and I've looked at Orthodox. I've seen the Catholic Bible, which is completely different from the Protestant Bible.
So you're one of them educated Negroes. You're the problem. You got too much to think.
But see, my thing is, I'm not going to talk to you about something that I have not looked into, and if I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to sit there and let you go back and look at something. But if I'm going to debate you, you best believe I'm coming from a position which I feel like, okay, guess what? I done read this. I done studied. I done asked questions. Because, see, one of the things Mother always taught us in church, and that the pastor said on a regular basis, do not lean onto my understanding or your own understanding. That's why we have Bible study. We get together, and we talk to those learned folks. You take and you pray on it. You get understanding. You gain wisdom. We don't do this. Some of the same folks are doing up to you doing your religion like you do your political candidates. You going off of what somebody else told you, and you ain't even looked to see whether or not it was true or not. Get some snoop on that.
They look smart.
Get on the main line with Allah. Get on the main line with whoever your deity is, and get an understanding. If you don't believe in God, you're an atheist, then you need to commune with other humanists and get to the center of your humanity, whatever it may be. Everybody's ability to believe what they want to believe, but do not
or not to believe. You have a right not to believe
on bad information. Do not pass on
that
bad
that
information.
Just makes you look like an asshole.
Because I'm gonna explain something that I've learned about most of the world's religions. Most of the world's religions, and this is like 95% of them, detest hate. Hate is not a part of the game.
I haven't come across one yet that does that. And I, you know, for me, you know, I'm a simple woman. I'm not going to say I'm not educated, but I kind of reject the term of being called an intellectual. I kind of hate that term because I think it's very presumptive and it's condescending in its own way. I'm an intellectual. Well, I am Stacy. But anyway, I think at the end of the day, we're all talking about the same people or the same, you know, we may have different players in the stories, you know, the plot lines may change, you know, from book to book, but I think at the end of the day, we all repping the same person. I believe in the Father God. I believe in Mother Nature. I think they work together and like any marriage, you know, and just like any marriage, you know, it's kind of hard to tell Mother Nature. You know, I think Father God says, I'll try to talk to her, but she mad. And Mother Nature, because ain't nobody stopped Mother Nature yet when she gets mad. So, you know, I kind of keep it in simple terms, even though I was raised, you know, as a Baptist. You know, all my family is Southern Baptist. We got a little bit of Catholicism thrown in there, which really makes it twisted. But, you know, I think we really complicated with organized religion, and we fuck some heads up. So, yeah.
What we were originally talking about is that all of this crap gets thrown into our foreign policy.
And then it goes into foreign policy and politics, you know, other aspects
right.
of politics.
Because the main reason we don't respect people in their countries and their wishes is because usually it starts off with what they believe in. Because you got to think
about
everything.
You don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
It's because every time
you're some sort of terrorist.
Right, because every time a foreign power has stepped into somebody's nation, the first thing they do, and this is irregardless if you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, anytime you've expanded your borders, you take your God with you.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you want, everybody in the land to your God. Now, my thing is, why don't you just let people be? They ain't buying these
There's something that somebody wanted there for a long time. Your land, your oil. There's some sort of natural resource you got to get your hands on, and that's what you use. You get a flag and your God, and you bound up.
But if you look at most times when we went into somebody's country, the shit didn't really hit the fan until you started trying to convert people. People was like, okay, somebody got to run shit around here, so if you're going to be the new guy running shit, the majority of people, you can let that shit roll. But then the moment you start telling me I got to believe something different than I grew up believing, then people want to start picking up rocks. They want to start picking up bows and arrows. They want to start picking up rifles and fight. Because they say, okay, you can ruin my land, you can give me laws, but now you're going to tell me what I'm going to believe? They usually start human beings to want to fight you. So we could have went into any of these countries, exploited their wealth, did whatever the hell we wanted to do if we just left folks' religion alone. The same thing in the Middle East. If you go in there and you stop putting up leaders who don't respect Islam, then you're going to get people who love Allah, who love the practicing of their religion, going to start saying, you got these heretics running my government. I'm going to fight you. If you just let them do, because hell, I have not met a cleric yet who don't like money.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have got somebody in the religion to do. That's why the Romans did such a good job of ruling their empire for so long, because they pretty much let you do what the hell you wanted to do. You read out of the Bible. You didn't try to stop the Jews from being Jews. They didn't try to stop nobody from being nothing. Just give me my money.
You know. Right. Right, and, you know, we saw a little bit last night in the debates, and I think all three candidates did a good job of kind of showing their differences. Bernie definitely represented the progressive view.
Yes, he did.
Hillary tried to dance that line and to tamping down that neocon kind of side of her. That is part of the liberal wing. There was a great article, I believe it was Slate, that poll that PPP did about the fictional city in the movie Aladdin.
Yes, yes. And
isn't that
not
funny?
That's some stupid shit. At first, I'm sitting there like, Acrobat. I've never heard of that city.
I did, because, you know, I got five kids. So, you know, I've watched much Disney movies. And I was like, you know what?
And when I grew up,
it was funny.
The fictional city in the story of Aladdin in the Disney movies, because it's not in the actual Aladdin story, Acrobat. It only comes from the Disney movies. And I'm like,
it's only in the Disney movie. Mhm. And so, you know, that shows a kind of haunted side, and this is why, you know, this is why we're seeing a political revolution for the Democratic side. This is a Tea Party revolution type or style kind of revolution that the Democrats are saying that you, myself, and a lot of other people have warned the Democrats for a long time that that was coming. Y'all didn't want to listen. So now it's hit your side after looking at and pointing at the GOP all these years. And what a lot of Hillary supporters don't understand This is more than just, you know, trying to get Bernie elected. This is about a referendum on the Democratic Party.
And this is the thing is,
people
we have to
tired
go through
of this shit.
In America, we have to go through this every generation, every two or three generations, okay? It happened. We started George Washington. That was the first cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we get to Abraham Lincoln. We had a choice to make. We fought about it. Okay, then we went from Lincoln to the first Roosevelt. We had a little conversation. We elected. Then we went from the first Roosevelt to the second Roosevelt. Okay, because people started forgetting that if we allow certain elements in our country to start rearing their ugly head, they will wreck our nation. And it's always been around the ability to make the American dollar, however it's going to be made. Then so we go from Roosevelt to the Reagan administration, and it starts slipping. And the thing it is, we're in this point now, we are at that slipping point where we started this downward track again, and we're now fighting because the two parties, the billionaire class has gotten smart. They don't know now that we need to infiltrate both sides. We can't pick one or the other. We need to hedge our bet and pick both sides.
Which gives remember Bernie? Bernie last night, he said, I forgot how the question was framed, but it asked him, you know, about him becoming president. You know, what would corporate America think about?
Corporate America's
not
going to
like me.
They don't like me. Yes, yes.
And I was like, damn right, Bernie, tell them. They ain't going to like him, but that's okay. They're going to have to kick rocks.
But he said it right. This is a fight about America choosing that we can all have a piece of the pie, not just a couple of them. We got to have a nation and a government that's for everybody. And there's nothing wrong with that. And people who think something wrong with that, most of you that do, you're in the boat with the rest of us. You're not a part of the 1%. You strive to want to be a part of the 1%. Very few people make it in that. And because you got to understand this, that club is genetic. That club is genetic. Because
it ain't for everybody.
Because that family is genetic. You can go back and you can trace all this money back to certain families. Donald Trump just didn't show up rich. He came across with that group of people who showed up in America between the Lincoln administration and the first Roosevelt. We in America, all of our money can be traced back to that era. And those people who came to the people who made that money, guess what? Every last one of them were immigrants. There has not been any home. There's not a homegrown American aristocracy that has just been rich the whole time. If it would have been, it probably would have came out of the South. But because of the Civil War, all of that money got destroyed. So that was a vacuum. And immigrants came in and filled it. The Rockefeller.
I don't know why you lying on these good folks like that, Scout. Why is you? See, you just.
The Carnegie.
They're not
the Carnegie. The Rockefellers. The Trumps, all of these cats were from Europe. They came over here dirt-ass poor and took hold to the vacuum, and they made the money. And that's why immigrants continue to come to this country. But now we got sons of immigrants that they can't come here. But we got 90 seconds left in the show.
Okay.
Okay, we got 90 seconds left in the show. So check this out, everybody. We're not going to be on the air next weekend. It's the week after Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas. We're going to chill. We will be back on the 3rd of January. And y'all know what it's about when the new year starts. It's about 2016. So all of my burn folks, all of us who feel the burn, we need to get our little rest over the next week because it's going to be real starting on the 3rd for us.
Because
we got, the target date is February 1st is when we got to put down that first fight. So our show is going to be every burn treatment, trying to get y'all out there to go do what you got to do. So I want everybody to have a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, George Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus. We'll see y'all at the new year. 2015 was real. Peace.
Yeah. Love y'all.